You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Legends Lingo podcast, episode 219, presented by Student Union Sports. I'm Al. I'm back. Had a nice vacation with my girlfriend in Newport, Rhode Island for 4 days. It was beautiful. Seeing the mansions, doing the walks, doing the tourist thing. It was great. It was a good time. But I'm back with my buddies, Tom Powder Cadmus. Powder, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Powder, you did a very good job hosting last week, holding down the fort.
Thank you. Credit to you.
So golf claps, golf claps, golf claps. And back for the second time, Student Union Sports own Andrew Diaz, a.k.a. Diaz, a.k.a. just the man at Student Union Sports. Diaz, what's going on, buddy?
Happy to be here. You know, love talking to you the first time. Draft time coming around, felt right to reach out and want to come back on. So I'm happy to be here, talk some draft and a little bit of C's. So I'm pumped.
We're pumped to have you, Diaz. You're always welcome to come on, especially guests that want to come on. We love that. So come on.
Yes, we do.
We're a friendly duo, I like to think. But you heard last week, like I said, was not there. Powder, Liam Smith, our great producer, Liam Smith. Thank you, Liam, for stepping in. But I'm starting to think you might hate me because you never come on when I come on. I'm on to you, Liam. I'm on to you. And JT coming on last week. Shout out to JT. I can't wait to actually meet him and talk some basketball and Celtics with him in the future. But thank you for jumping on and holding down the fort with us. Before we start, I have a totally random question for you guys. And I'm going to put this into, because obviously Massachusetts betting is legal now. So now we can talk about this. So I have a middle school faculty student basketball game on Friday.
Ooh.
I'm playing against 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. We have, it's about, I'd say about 7 ladies and 5 gentlemen on the team. So it's pretty mixed. So it's, mm-hmm. It's a decent number. We are playing 2 20-minute halves, which that's a lot. But what I want to ask you guys is, I'm going to set a point total for me. And I want you to tell me if it's going to be over or under. And I want to know why. And you don't have to just say over because we're on the same podcast. I'm going to put a reasonable number. You tell me if it's over or under. You ready?
I'm ready for this.
I'm ready.
Point total. Again, I'm probably going to play about 20 minutes. That's probably the amount of time I'm going to get. 14 and a half for points.
How good are these kids? Like, are there any like really tall 8th graders or 7th graders in the mix?
There's one 7th grader that has height and can play, and he's probably going to, when our lines like meet, he's probably going to want to cover me. He's even told me, he's like, I'm covering you. I'm like, all right, fine. And he's a good player. He's a really, really good player. Very talented. The rest, I mean, they're good players, but I have the height advantage. Obviously I have the weight advantage because I'm a big like fat guy. So I have,
you're not fat, Al.
That's debatable. Tell my stomach that. But I think I have the height advantage and the strength advantage. So especially down low, I can just rebound and put layups back in. And if I hit a couple shots, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? You taking the over or the under on 14 and a half?
I feel like that's a perfect, perfect number. I'm going to say just over. I'm going to say you're going to get 16.
Let's go.
I'm in the same boat. I was going to say just over at 15. So
Let's go.
I think you're just going to break it. I do think you'll have, you know, maybe hit a three if you kick around the perimeter. But, yeah, if you post up in the paint, you know, grabbing some rebounds, I don't think you're going to be very stoppable. It'll be Shaq, you know, late 90s, early 2000s-esque. The poor 6th graders, 7th graders that have to guard you. So I'm going to take the over in that.
It's co-ed too. There's some good girls players. Like there's some
really
good players, especially in the 8th grade. There's some good players.
And we know Al's going to be just really going hard trying to score.
Oh, I've already told my AD, and she's a really, really nice lady. She's one of the math teachers at our school. She cares about the athletics, and I respect her a ton, even though I like to give her a lot of, you know, a lot of shit and, you know, hard time. But I literally told her, like, listen, I'm not going easy on these kids. Like, I am going 110%. I'm going to be a hardo with this. So I'm just letting you know in advance.
Is there anything after this basketball game for you?
No.
So you're going to be dripping in sweat coming off the court, absolutely exhausted, winded.
Oh, yeah. By far. Oh, my goodness. And then the weekend, I'll be hanging out with my girlfriend and stuff like that. Like, I don't know what we'll be doing, but I'm going to tell her, look, I played 20 minutes. I went,
went balls. You're going to be icing your knees. That's you're going to be icing your knees and ankles.
I'm going to be taking an ice bath as soon as I get home. I'm literally going to be like, hey, help. My family, help. Are you to bay? Help me.
Is there double-double potential here? Because like you said, you've got the height and the weight advantage. I mean, 10 boards, you know, isn't impossible either. So, I mean, if you drop 15 and 10, that's not out of the picture, I don't think.
What's the line? What's the line, Diaz?
Set rebounds, maybe like 8.5.
Okay.
I'll take the over.
I'm going to take the over. I think we're going to see a 15 and 10 or a 16 and 10 performance from you.
Wow. All right. So now I'm going to tell my AD and I'm going to tell the teachers, like, hey, you got to keep stats for me because yes. I need to tell my podcast co-host what my stats were. So now the pressure's on.
I do think the playoffs being on now, too, is going to be a little bit of an extra, like, drive, a little extra force for you, too. If this were, like, regular season around the All-Star break, I don't think there would be that much. You know, you'd be out there having fun, but with the playoffs, there's going to be an extra level of intensity, especially, you know, with the season, in a close series, you're going to want to put on for that. You're going to want to have a good game. So I do think that's where the double-double will come from.
Listen, the fact that we're inside, we're not – because my school has an outdoor basketball hoop, and I'll be at, like, recess. And if the wind is blowing and stuff, like, obviously the shots aren't going to be falling. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be inside on an actual court. If I hit the first one,
yeah,
could be curtains for the students. Could be curtains.
If you get to, like, 9 boards, you're going to have to pad the stats, like, purposely miss one. Do, like the Kenneth Faried, put one off the backboard, grab it, and then go up.
For sure. Oh, goodness. This is going to be great.
Is there going to be any video of this? We might need a video.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, my goodness. Powder, I wish that you still live close to me because I would tell you, like, just leave work early, come down. We'll get the video footage and we'll put it on the Legends Twitter.
What day is it?
It's a Friday. It's this upcoming Friday.
Like in 2 days?
Yeah.
I wish I could, but I'll be setting up NEBC for a tournament.
I'd love Diaz come down from Buzzards Bay, Mass to film the occasion.
Yeah, we'll call in a big camera crew. Pull out the big guns from Student Union. Have Liam expense some camera stuff for us, and we'll make like an old and one mixtape for you.
Oh my gosh, you just see me like praying up to God before the game, and then just like doing like celebrations. Oh my goodness, I did not think we were going to talk about this for this long, but I'm glad we are. This is absolutely hilarious, Powder. When you do the episode recap, first thing you got to say is, what will Al's faculty basketball numbers look like? Or something like that. Something along those lines. I did not think we'd be talking for about 10 minutes on this. That's hilarious. So there you have it. Diaz and Powder both think very highly of me in this matchup. They think I'm going over in points at 14.5 and over in rebounds set at 8.5 by our own Andrew Diaz. So, oh, man. Oh, man. But let's not talk about any more about me, you know, potentially owning middle school kids. You know, it's a fun topic. Maybe we can revisit it at the end. We'll see. You know, we will revisit it at the end just for fun. Yeah. Just because you didn't have any of me last week, so you get a little more of me this week, as much as Powder hates that, but it's okay.
I love it.
I love you, and you know that. All right. And I love you too, Diaz. You're the man.
Appreciate that.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk some Boston sports. So we have, obviously, the NFL draft coming this week. That's why Diaz is on with us. He wants to talk about some potential draft picks for the Patriots. And we'll talk like first round, maybe even into the second round. I think after that, it's
you're just throwing darts at a board at that point.
Exactly. Darts at a board. That's a great analogy. Good job. I'm glad Mass Maritime's education is helping you. Good job. Yes, we're proud of you. All right. So we will talk Patriots. Celtics cannot close out the Atlanta Hawks at home. And I'm going to go on a tirade about that. I told Powder pre-recording, I have a rant to go on. Diaz, I'm sorry. I'm letting you know in advance. I'm going on a tirade because I kind of need to. Bruins look to close out their series. We will actually be recording the night of game 5. So, I mean, I think they're going to win. So we can kind of look ahead a little bit. So we're going to look ahead. We're going to look ahead. And then Red Sox, they're 500 right now. We can talk about a couple things here and there. But since Diaz is on with us, let's start with the Patriots. The Patriots have the 14th overall pick in Thursday's NFL draft. A big trade went down in the NFL, just to kind of circle some NFL news. Aaron Rodgers, officially a member of the New York Jets now, goes to the Jets along with a, I believe it's a first and a fifth, in exchange for a first, a second, and then a conditional second that can turn into a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps for the Jets next season. So as it stands right now, and correct me, Diaz, if I'm wrong, Green Bay is 13, Patriots 14, Jets 15.
Yeah, they just swapped that first-round pick. So the Jets just fall right behind New England there to 15.
Okay. So with that, I talked on the Patriots podcast I'm on, Tuck Rule Takes. Give that a like and subscribe to and a follow. I don't know what Bill Belichick's going to do at 14. I really, really don't. I mean, there's a couple positions that I would say they definitely need, right? Powder, what's one position that the Patriots definitely need?
Cornerback. Definitely need to solidify the cornerback.
Definitely solidify corner. I agree with that. And I have a name that I don't think they're going to take, but I would love if they did take. And I think he's going to be taken in the first round. But we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. Diaz, what's another area you think the Patriots need?
I think tackle or safety are the two that I've been kind of circling a little bit. Especially where their draft position is, it kind of makes the most sense with who could be available.
Right. And tackle, I agree with. Safety, I can make a case that they don't need to necessarily because they still have some good safeties with Adrian Phillips and Kyle Duggar, bringing back Jabril Peppers. So there is some depth there. But if they took a safety in like the later rounds, I wouldn't be too mad about that. And then obviously another big one is wide receiver, because it doesn't look like the Patriots are getting DeAndre Hopkins, which I am very sad about, but we'll get over it eventually. But there's a couple big names out there, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba is one name.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Flowers, another name. So I'm going to put this nice and simple for you guys. We're going to keep it nice and easy. And then Diaz, obviously you can go off with your insight and everything else that you have been researching for the draft. What do you think the Patriots will take at 14, and who will they take at that spot? So when they go up at 14, the New England Patriots select blank. I already have my name. I want to see if you guys have one already. If not, I can kind of kick us off.
I've kind of got two that I think they could take here.
Go for it.
I think the top 10, there's like 12 guys that are in that mix for top 10. Especially at corner, like I think Devon Witherspoon will be off the board, which is unfortunate. I think he's the best corner in the draft. I think that they could end up taking – the reason I say safety is because Brian Branch from Bama is there.
Yeah.
And he had 90 tackles last year, 3 sacks, 2 picks. He kind of does everything. So he plays a little bit like Duggar, where he could drop in the box and kind of play all over the field. So I think that would be like a best available pick. And he could just kind of – you could plug him in really anywhere on the defense. And then – with tackle, Isaiah Wynn was not very good pretty much his whole career in New England.
He's done.
Yeah. So, and then same with Trent Brown. So I think if Paris Johnson Jr. is available, I think you take him. Or even if he's not available, Broderick Jones from Georgia, another big tackle. I think this year's tackle class is really, really good. There's like 5 or 6 guys, even they could get like DeJuan Jones or Anton Harris in the second round. But if they wanted to splurge and get a tackle early, I think they go try to get Paris Johnson Jr. and hope nobody in front of them takes him. Because I also think the Jets would take him at 15. So that would be, A, you're stealing a pick from your division rival who just got better. And then B, you're addressing a need that you have with maybe the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Okay. I do like those picks. And those are two names that I haven't really heard a lot of lately. Brian Branch, correct me if I'm wrong, Diaz, he's slated to be a mid to late first rounder, right?
Yeah, in like between like Baltimore and like Dallas in that range, I think like 22 to 27, 28.
Okay. So more toward the late first round, but okay.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. Paris Johnson Jr., another name I haven't heard a lot of. Broderick Jones, I've heard a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard his name get floated around. So you think that they could take one of those two guys?
Yeah, I think that. You know, they've had, especially with Branch being a Bama guy, that connection's very strong between Belichick and Saban. So I think he would reach a little bit and take Branch, but it would work out just because Branch has been a starter for 2 years at Bama and just been super productive. But like you said, they've got depth at safety now. And, you know, corner, like Powder had mentioned, is a huge position in this year's draft where there's, you know, potentially 6 first-round corners. that all go, you know, before pick 24, which would be crazy. So, and New England's definitely one of the teams in that mix. And with the higher pick, they could get one of the two or three premier corners in the draft that could be an all-pro, like, you know, Tariq Woolen or Sauce Gardner were last year.
Sauce Gardner, oh, I hate that we haven't played him twice.
He's so good. He's just so lanky. It's crazy.
I know. He's so good. He is. All right, Powder. Who do you want the Patriots to take at 14? So with the 14th overall pick, the New England Patriots select?
I think, like I said, they're going to go corner. I think, obviously, like Diaz said, there's a couple that could go off the board earlier, but I think Joey Porter Jr. is someone we've been talking about.
No, you took mine. No, I hate you. No, I don't actually hate you. No, that was going to be my pick.
But having someone who is a little bit of a bigger corner than what we have that can guard some of the better receivers that the Patriots have go against, because the AFC East, like we talked about, just keeps getting better and better. I think at least for this upcoming season, it's going to be the best division in all of football, because you have Miami, who was a playoff. Yeah, they were a playoff team this year, right?
Yeah, they got the 7 seed.
Yeah, playoff team. You have the Jets, who just got Rodgers. You have the Bills, who year in and year out are Super Bowl contenders. And then the Patriots, who are, like, they're going to be a 500 team, but in the best division. So I think they need a good corner that can cover some of the better receivers, that's a bigger size guy. And I think Joey Porter Jr. is the right guy to go with.
I like that. I know you were going to say that too, Al, but I actually like that pick a lot. I didn't think about him going to New England, but when you actually hear it, you know, the reasons for it, you know, having to guard Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, guarding those guys is so important. A lot of teams have two receiver threats in that division. So it makes all the sense in the world, honestly.
That's the one guy I've been talking about for weeks. Stolen from me. All right. So I like Joey Porter Jr. I like the picks that Diaz had. I'm gonna go one of two. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick one at three positions, because I think there's three names that they should look for and they could look for. So I'll start a tackle. I'm going to go Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern. I think he's going to get taken beforehand, but he's a guy that can play either tackle position. And you alluded to it, Diaz, and I agree with you. Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn, you can't have both of them on the field at both tackle positions in 2023. You have a good three with Andrews at center, Strange and Onwenu at the guards. You now need to solidify those tackle positions. You want to keep Trent Brown? Fine. Get Skoronski, put him at right tackle, because he's a guy that can play both ways. He's big, he's physical, he has good hands on the line. So get me a guy that can actually continue with the youth movement on the offensive line for this Patriots team. So that's one pick. Another pick that I like, I'm going to go wide receiver. I'm going to keep it simple. Zay Flowers, a guy that can play in the slot, a guy that can create speed, is a downfield field threat as well. You can create that separation and catch the deep ball. And he can create yards after the catch. And I think in Bill O'Brien's offense, B.O.B. is going to want guys that can really explode after they catch the ball and really lengthen the field, especially with the Patriots offense last year, which was anemic. So that's another pick to look out for. I like Zay Flowers. Again, I like JSN from Ohio State, but I don't think he's going to end up coming here. And then the last one, I'm going to do another corner. I'm going to do a different corner. I'm going to go Deontay Banks out of Maryland. That's been a name that's been linked to the Patriots. 6'1". He's a guy that can play in multiple coverages. He's a guy that can move good side to side. Good size. He's 6'1". So he's a tall corner. Like Joey Porter, 6'2". Joey Porter Jr. 6'2". Deontay Banks is 6'1", and that's a tall corner. And you need those tall corners, especially for these big receivers, like you guys were both saying, you know, the Stephon Diggs, the Jalen Waddles, you know, and everybody else. And if DeAndre Hopkins ends up going to Buffalo, which is a rumor going right now, like, you're going to need someone to cover both Diggs and Hopkins. So those are my three picks. So I think we all agree that there's going to be someone there. Do we think that Belichick trades the pick down, because that's just so Belichick?
I mean, you never rule it out with Bill Belichick, but I can't see him doing it this year. I think he knows he needs to draft someone to help the team at that spot.
Yes.
Kind of the same. I mean, it's not There hasn't been, I mean, there's been talks about other teams, especially the Vikings, who I'm a fan of, that talks that they'll trade up. There's certain teams that, you know, it's been circulating that they'll trade up or down. New England hasn't been one of those teams you've really heard about, but again, with Belichick and how unpredictable he is, you really don't know what his plan of action will be. If he's got a couple guys in mind and they get taken off the board, you know, at 11, 12, and 13, then he'll probably trade back and just see if he can pick up some value for either this year or for next year, and then still get guys that he has valued a little bit later in the first round. So I would not be shocked if, draft night, we see a trade either right before or during the draft that New England traded down.
Okay. So, again, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, for all we know, it could be just like all the other draft nights. We wait, and then at 14, the Patriots decide to trade it for 2 seconds and a third next year or something like that. I don't know. But I agree with Powder. I think they got to make a move, but we'll see what happens. Just sticking with the draft real quick, and then we will talk some Celtics. Is there a guy in the second round that you would love to see the Patriots take? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a corner or an offensive lineman. It can be really any position. Because there's one guy I really am starting to like based on everything I'm seeing on Twitter about him and all of his highlights. I think he could bode really well for the future of this Patriots team.
What position?
Tight end. I think you know him.
Sam LaPorta?
No. So I'm sticking with a team that you mentioned earlier, the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm going Darnell Washington.
Ooh.
That would be a freak.
I don't see him going in the first round just because the 1 and 2 will be Mayer and Kincaid, but Washington will be around, especially the Pats have the 45th or 6th pick in the second round. So he would be around at that time. And I mean, you bring him in. Gesicki's on, I think, a 1-year deal. Henry is, you know, it's uncertain what his future will be. You bring Washington in to be the third tight end this year. Develop into become the second at the end of the season, and then boom, he could be your second or first tight end, you know, in 2024. Be a pretty awesome pickup, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, Gesicki's here on a 1-year contract. Hunter Henry has one more year. I do think they're going to extend Hunter Henry, but I think they're going to move on from Gesicki after 2023. I'd love if they kept him, but I don't think they're going to. Powder, you got any guys that you really want to see in the later rounds? It doesn't have to be second round. It could be in the later rounds.
No one that comes off in my head, but I think definitely the Patriots should try and target in the at least second or third round, try and find a receiver to kind of solidify that offense.
Okay. Any other picks?
I was going to say, if they pass on a receiver in the first round, there's, you know, Josh Downs from UNC that they could get, Cedric Tillman from Tennessee, Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee. He might be gone by the time that their second round pick comes around, but even Mingo from Ole Miss, like there's a lot of really, really good receivers in this year's draft that, you know, could fall right into the hands of New England. And if you get a guy like Mingo, who's a really fast player with runs really good routes opposite of Juju Smith-Schuster, where Schuster will probably be more your deep threat, bigger target, you get one of the smaller receivers, would kind of be a nice, you know, 1-2 punch to have. And then you got two pretty good tight ends. But I'd say maybe in the third round, look at Army D end Andre Carter. I feel like that just fits to have a service academy guy on the team. It's the Belichick way. And he was really good this past year. He's 6'7", a little bit thin, but put some weight on him. About middle of the season, he was projected to be a late first, early second round guy. Has kind of fallen off a bit with the combine and, you know, other guys just rising. But I could see that being a guy that they land at pick 76. If they pass on a tackle in the first round, I think you could get Anton Harrison or DeJuan Jones, or even you could get Cody Mock, who could play tackle, the kid from North Dakota State. So they have a lot of options this year. They're in good draft position where they could trade back in the first round and pick up, you know, some more collateral in the second round or even the third round. So I do think they have a good position with that 14th pick. A lot of teams are going to want it, especially if there's good players still on the board or players that teams are going to value high and really want. So
I got two more quick draft questions, then we will move into Celtics. Do the Patriots take a quarterback? Yes or no? at all.
Maybe late, maybe like Clayton Tune out of Houston, Tanner McKee out of Stanford, but that would be day three. I don't think you see them take one on day one, I don't think at all, or even day two. I think there's definitely other needs. But yeah, I could see, you always kind of see teams that have quarterbacks will take somebody in the third round. Maybe they end up being the backup or the third string, but with Zapp and Mac, there's really no need to waste, you know, one of your day one or day two picks on a quarterback.
Okay. Powder, yes or no to the QB?
No, I agree. I think if Patriots were to take a QB, it would be like sixth round, someone just to have as, like Dia said, a third string. But I don't, like, I could see him not. So I think it's more likely that they don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The way I see it, if they do take it, I agree with both of you guys. It's late round. And don't forget, mm-hmm. they have, obviously, Mac, they have Zappe, and they have Trace McSorley, too, who could be your third quarterback, or he could be on the scout team. So, mm-hmm. or maybe they draft a quarterback to be on the scout team. Who knows? Like, I don't know what they're thinking. Yeah. Not that ever happens, but it could end up that draft pick ends up on the scout team. So who knows? But whatever the case is going to be, it's going to be a fun night on Thursday night during the NFL draft. Real quick, Diaz, we know you're a Vikings guy. Where are the Vikings picking? Who are they taking?
They've got the 23rd pick. It's so weird right now. It just all depends. I mean, obviously it all depends on what everybody in front of them does, but I'd like them to get Jordan Addison from USC, especially you just cut Thielen. You got Jefferson. Now if you get another really good receiver, it would be nice to have. A lot of people I've been reading have been saying Hendon Hooker, the Tennessee quarterback, which I would really, really hate. He's a 25-year-old quarterback that is coming off a torn ACL. So, you know, taking that gamble in the first round only to not see him play this year would be a real bummer. And then I also like Kalijah Kancey, the D-tackle from Pitt. I mean, really, really good player, super quick. Maybe, you know, it's very premature and early to jump the gun, but maybe the next great three-tech coming out of Pitt. Very Aaron Donald-esque. But so one of those guys. And then, again, they could also go corner, too. Deonte Banks, you know, Cam Smith from South Carolina. So there's a lot. And I can even see them trading, too, because they've been very active. They were active last year trading for TJ Hawkinson, so they don't have a second-round pick this year. But if they trade back, try to get a second-rounder, again, I have absolutely no idea. I've done a couple mock drafts, and every time that pick has changed, you know, drastically. So I have no idea. I just hope it's something that I actually enjoy and not a 25-year-old quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I mean, listen, you have Justin Jefferson. They picked up his fifth-year option, so.
Yeah.
He'll be in purple and gold for a very long time. So
I hope so. That would be a real bummer to lose him, man. That would absolutely suck. But I just want them to throw the bag at him when it's like in his contract year. So that's the one guy. You can't let him go.
No, I don't. Unless he became a Patriot, then I wouldn't hate it too much. But, you know,
I'd be happy for you, but very disappointed for myself. He's so fun to watch.
That is completely fair. Completely get it. All right. Besides the draft happening on Thursday night, the Celtics are also playing Thursday night, which they shouldn't be because they're idiots. So let's just get into it. So the Celtics are currently up 3-2 against the Atlanta Hawks. They should have already won the series in 5, mm-hmm. but they decided in game 5 to play like idiots. And they had a 12-point lead, I believe, with 6 minutes left. They end up losing the game 119-117. Trae Young hits a 3 with less than 2 seconds left in the fourth quarter to put the Hawks up 2. And I'm not going to yell and scream, but I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go on a nice, peaceful rant. What is happening to this Celtics team that hasn't happened before? Where's the different team now? You had that instance a little bit last year where it looked like they kind of kicked bad habits. They were playing well defensively, best defensive team in the NBA. The offense wasn't as good, which is okay. That defense was just so, so stellar and so well put together. They were able to force so many turnovers against teams and turn them into easy baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year, Joe Mazzulla is the guy because Ime Udoka. And by the way, Ime Udoka, now the head coach of the Houston Rockets. And I want to talk about that in like a couple minutes. But Joe Mazzulla takes over. Mazzulla ball, shooting a lot of threes, moving the ball on offense. That's all well and good. I've said this before on this podcast, and I'm going to say it again. At this point, you can't say it's on the head coach. It is on the players. It is on your core of Jason Tatum. It's on your core of Jaylen Brown. It's on your core of Marcus Smart. It is on your core of guys like Al Horford, Rob Williams not being healthy. It's on the players now. So I don't want to hear anymore from these green teamers that, oh, Joe Mazzulla is not the guy. You know, like, people were saying the same thing about Ime Udoka last year, 25 games into the season. And then look what he did with that team. Brought him to the finals. Probably should have won the finals. But now this year, what bothers me, like, I understand people are comparing this team to the 2008 Celtics when they took the Hawks in the first round, seven games and won in seven games. But that team also had Kevin Garnett. That team had Ray Allen. That team had Paul Pierce. And they had a lot of good veterans off the bench. Now, I can understand the comparisons, but this team should have been taken care of. And that team in 08 didn't blow leads like this core does today. So, again, my question is, what has this team learned? What is so different about this team? Because right now, I'm seeing the same thing. Taking your foot off the gas pedal, making silly mistakes, bad turnovers. The Celtics are up one with 15 seconds left, and Marcus Smart is diving at Trae Young to try to get a steal, and then it's a foul when Atlanta's in the bonus. And then Trae Young's an 89% free throw shooter. Of course he's going to make both free throws. And then Derek White drives to the hole. He gets fouled. He makes both free throws. But if you were watching the game, there's no way you weren't like me and saying to yourself, oh, this will end good. I said to myself, as soon as Trae Young let the ball go, I said, that's going in. And sure enough, swish, goes in. And they don't have a good out-of-bounds play with less than 2 seconds left. They lose the game. Why does it feel like this team has trouble, especially at home closing games? And again, I know I said I'm going on a rant. I'm almost done. But look at what happened last year. Bucks game five with a chance to take a series lead and solidify something for yourself. Gone. You lose that. You blew that game. You were up 10 with like 5 minutes left. You blew that. Miami game six last year in the Garden to go to the finals. You blow that game. You blow multiple leads this year. Again, I don't want to hear that it's a Joe Mazzulla issue. They did this under Brad Stevens. They did it at times last year under Ime Udoka. They've done it this year for Joe Mazzulla. At this point, at some point, the players got to come together and say, we got to stop letting this happen. Because I'm going to tell you something. They lose game six on Thursday night. They're playing Saturday night at TD Garden in a game seven. Not saying they shouldn't win, but anything can happen in a game seven. Look at what Jimmy Butler did in Miami against the Bucks, 56 points to put the Heat up 3-1. I know Giannis was out, but I get that. But this team really needs to figure it out because they make it harder for themselves than need to be. Chris Forsberg said it on NBC Sports Boston after the game. And I agree with him 100%. This team does not make it easy. They continue to shoot themselves in the foot. Joel Embiid is hurt. They could have started the series on Saturday, maybe played a game or two without Embiid, get an easy lead, and then it would be that much harder for Philly. Now he gets to rest. He rests up for the first game, which I think now is going to be Monday or Tuesday if the Celtics win on Thursday. So you have less rest for the Celtics, more rest for the 76ers, and that can play a part, especially in games one and two when the Celtics might be a little tired and the 76ers are a little bit fresher in the legs. So that's all I got on the Celtics. They aggravate me, frustrate me. Diaz, Powder, just any other thoughts you want to throw out there? I know I said a lot, and I know I covered a lot, but just any thoughts you guys have on the Celtics team in this series?
I think the biggest disparity we saw last game was just the guards. You know, Derek White and Smart got outplayed by Trae Young and Bogdanović, like kind of, I mean, by a crazy margin. Trae Young had 38 and 13 assists, Bogdanović 18 points and 6 boards, while White had 18 points and 5 boards, and Smart had 10 points and 2 assists. And, you know, Smart, you're really not expecting a whole hell of a lot of stats out of him. But even defensively, he did not look good. And Trae Young, I mean, that This is the reason you have a guy like Smart is the guard, one of the best guards in the NBA, and to hold him to under 20 points, because obviously Trae Young is going to get his points. He is an unreal shooter, or pull it from wherever. So he's going to score, but you don't, you need him to shut him down and hold him to under 20 points. You can't have him, you know, scoring 38 and the game winning three from about 5 or 6 feet from beyond the arc. That's got to be the biggest thing, is Smart has to step up. And, you know, if they're going to go into that series with Philly, he's going to have to guard Harden. He doesn't have an easy rest of the road. So I just think Smart's got to step it up. And same with Derek White, if they're going to really want to see success, because, you know, Brown's going to do what he does. Tatum the same. Horford is, you know, playing as good as, you know, a center that's close to being 40 years old can play. And he's fun to watch. But the guards are really where it's is the struggle, I think.
I can see that. I can agree with that. Derek White just stepped up. Also, Jason Tatum going 1 for 10 from 3-point land in game five.
Yeah.
Can't have that happen. Nope. You can't. Powder?
Yeah, I think both you guys kind of talked about everything, but just having the Celtics be a team that should be have a chance to make the finals and they're not able to secure leads is just very disappointing to see. And like, you just need to play better defense, especially down the stretch. You have a 12-13 point lead with 5 minutes left, whatever it was. You just go into guarding them, not letting them get easy shots, and just wasting the clock on offense. I don't think they've been doing that lately. And like you said, Al, it's on the players. They need to find a way to close out these games if they want any chance of making it a deep run. Because, you know, Philly, they have Harden. And then if they make it past them somehow and play Milwaukee, if it's Milwaukee, or maybe Milwaukee doesn't even make it out because they're down 3-1. But are they playing the Eastern Conference Finals? If they make it that far, they're going to have a way to close it out. Like, if the Heat make a run at it, they have Jimmy Butler who can close out any game. And I don't know if the Celtics, the way they're playing right now, would be able to play with a Jimmy Butler late in a game.
This team, man, they were at the highest of highs and then the lowest of lows, and it's just been a roller coaster season. Now, I'm not giving up on them. I do think they take care of the Hawks on Thursday night. But looking ahead to that series two against Philly in the Eastern Conference semifinals, you have to go up against Joel Embiid. I don't care. He has like a sprained LCL or whatever. Like, he's going to be slowed down, but he's still Joel Embiid. He still takes up a ton of space as far as being a down low presence. Like, he can beat you in the post. He can beat you outside. James Harden, like you guys mentioned, Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey. They have some players. Now, the one advantage I would give the Celtics is I think their bench is deeper than the 76ers. I think that's a big advantage. But again, it's all about can you beat the starting five, because it's not the starting five, but can you make sure that you can take care of the starting five, especially in clutch time? You need to make sure that in the clutch, you get the stops you need, you get the baskets that you need, because every time at the end of a quarter, the Celtics have the ball, I don't think they're scoring.
No.
3-2-1, brick. 3-2-1, turnover. 3-2-1, block shot. Again, I do think they make it to round two, but if they didn't for whatever reason, and we're back next week talking about Celtics being eliminated in the first round, a lot of questions are going to be had about this team's mental toughness, this team's will to win, and this team's ability to win a championship in that window that they have. The window's not going to be open for much longer, maybe a couple more years at the most. So I don't know. I don't know. Any final thoughts on the Celtics before we kind of move into some other topics?
Just need them to close out. That's it. You know, we could try to speak it into existence, but you just need them to close the Hawks out. And it is disappointing that they weren't able to close them out earlier. And like you brought up, a great point is getting a little bit of a jump on the Sixers. Make them have to come right into a series and play versus, get out of a tough first round series and have to go play the Sixers with Embiid, you know, pretty much close to fully healthy. So just got to close it out now and, prepare for the Sixers. That's it.
Prepare for the Sixers. Hopefully you have a shorter series than that, but yeah, we'll see. But All right, Diaz, I know you're not much of a Bruins or Red Sox guy, so I think this is the nice end of the road for you, but we appreciate having you as always. Do you want to shout out your socials and your podcasts and everything else?
Yeah, Twitter is at Fresh Legs Diaz, writing on Student Union Sports a couple times a week, so go check that out. The past few weeks have been pretty much all draft and then all, you know, some movie stuff, so go check that out if either one interests you. Once the draft ends, I'm sure they'll keep being some draft recap stuff. And then, you know, Student Union Sports Podcast, Is It Saturday Yet? We're recording an interview tonight with UTSA wide receiver. But we've got a couple episodes out now in the offseason with Buffalo quarterback Cole Snyder, Miami, Ohio quarterback Avion Smith. So if you're a college football fan, definitely go check those out. But yeah, thank you guys for having me on. I love talking draft with people. I think my roommate's been getting annoyed with me because that's pretty much the past 2 weeks has been the bane of my existence, has been talking about the draft. So it's good to talk to other people that want to talk about it.
Of course. Diaz, you have an open invitation anytime.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Shout out to Andrew Diaz for joining us on the Legends Lingo podcast. Make sure to go check out all his stuff on Student Union Sports. Check out the podcast, Is It Saturday Yet? Great kid. Just awesome, awesome personality. Mm-hmm. Really love having him. We'll talk Bruins and Celtics really quick. So Bruins are up 3-1 on the Florida Panthers. They're playing game 5. They're going to be starting in about 10 minutes. So we're recording on Wednesday night about 6:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 26th. And I just got to say this, Powder. This team just continues to amaze me. No Patrice Bergeron the last couple games. No David Krejci. And they just find ways to not only win, but win convincingly. I mean, I know people have been saying Florida has been outplaying the Bruins at certain points in the series, and that's fine. But what matters is the final score at the end of the game. And guess what? They take care of business. Taylor Hall looks like he's been reborn, mm-hmm. has the most points of any Bruin in the playoffs. Linus Ullmark continues to do his thing. David Krejci still out for game 5. It looks like Patrice Bergeron is going to be making his return in game 5 as well. So, assuming that the Bruins win, I think they're going to win on Wednesday night, and I think they're going to be advancing to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. They would face the winner of the Tampa Bay Lightning-Toronto Maple Leaf series. The Toronto Maple Leafs are up 3-1. Then again, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have an issue with getting out of the first round. I think they finally get past that curse, but who knows? Let's just say, Powder, I'm going to make up a hypothetical here. Let's just say it's 3-3 in the series. And there's a game 7. Who would you want the Bruins to play in the second round? Would you rather them play the Lightning? Or would you rather them play the Maple Leafs?
I think talent on those teams, I think, is very similar. I think they both have very strong scoring. I think they both have good goaltending. But I'd rather play the Leafs because Tampa Bay's been there, done that. They have the experience. I'd rather play the Leafs where the Leafs, and I think it's tough because the Lightning, they have something to play for, where the Leafs are kind of playing, like if they win that series, they're kind of playing on house money at that point. So I feel like it's always tough playing a team that kind of has nothing, like there's no pressure on them. They're in the second round. They haven't been second round in God knows how long. I forget exactly when the last time they won a playoff series was, but I know it's been a long, long time. But still, I'd rather play a team that does not have the experience in deep runs and playoffs. I'd rather take my chances with the Leafs, and that's who I'd take.
See, I would take the Leafs too, but for a different reason. Like, yes, I do agree that the Lightning winning couple Stanley Cups, having the core that's been there before, that's important. But also, Toronto's goaltender situation with Samsonov in net,
yeah,
not that great. Like, he's very hit or miss. I would take my chances with Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman, that duo, that tandem, as opposed to Samsonov in Toronto. I don't even know his first name. I have to ask our friend Matty B, who's a resident Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Yeah. I can talk to him and figure that out if and when the time comes. But I want the Maple Leafs. I think the Bruins would take care of the Maple Leafs in 5 or 6 games. And I think that the Bruins will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know who they play at. Carolina is still battling with the Islanders. The Rangers and the Devils are still battling in their series. I'm just going to check that real quick. I think
it's 2-2, but I could be wrong. So I just want to double check that while I have it fresh on the brain. And it looks like, well, of course I can't find it. Yeah, they're tied at 2. So that series is tied at 2 apiece. And they're actually playing on Thursday night. So they're playing Thursday night in New Jersey. So that's been an entertaining series. That's been kind of fun to watch. But this Bruins team, again, like I can't say it enough, Powder. They really just know how to amaze everybody.
Yes, they do.
Like this is just it feels like they have everything going their way this year. Knocking on wood right now. I don't know if you heard that, but knocking on wood, they're looking like they have the makings of making a deep run and maybe even a Stanley Cup final run. Like all they need to do is just continue to do what they do best. Win the third period, good goaltending, and don't make crucial turnovers in your own zone.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruins looking pretty good. Red Sox, not so much. We'll talk Red Sox in a second, but Powder, you want to talk to our friends on this Legends Lingo podcast about our friends over at A&B Kitchen and Bar?
Yes, like I talk about them every week. Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from TD Garden, where A&B Burgers is located in Beverly, Massachusetts, on the North Shore. A&B Kitchen and Bar is a great spot to meet up before, after, even during a Bruins or Celtics game. Bruins, Celtics, hoping to make deep runs in the playoffs. You want to get that playoff atmosphere, whether you have tickets to go game or maybe don't have tickets to go game, but you still want that garden atmosphere. Well, go A&B Kitchen Bar. Get a great, great meal, watch game with fellow fans. They have local beef, local beer, local wine. Kind of everything they have is grown or made very locally, and it's great food. It's either burgers, pasta, meatloaf, fish and chips, kind of whatever you can think of, they probably have, and it's some of the best food you've ever had. So if you go there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boy sent you.
Shout out, as always, to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Burgers. Great place, great atmosphere, better times ahead. All right, Red Sox. I think, Powder, and you can tell me what you think about this. I think with the Red Sox, what we're going to do is we're going to have one general takeaway from the week, unless some big news occurs.
Yeah, that's because fine.
They've had a couple injuries. Like Yu Chang got injured. Like he's going to be out for a little bit. Chris Martin looks like he's coming back into the bullpen, so that's going to be good for the bullpen. Mm. Kenley Jansen's been a godsend as far as closer goes.
Finally, the Red Sox have a closer.
No, the Red Sox are the only team in the MLB right now that don't have a blown save.
Why would you put that in the atmosphere?
You have to, because when something good happens to the Red Sox bullpen, you need to talk about it for a quick second.
Yes.
And you know at some point they're going to blow a save. But for right now, we can say that we were the last team to blow a save. So that's good enough. I'll take that. My one general takeaway with this Red Sox team, Masataka Yoshida is going to be fine. He's going to be fine. I think the bat-to-ball skills are there. I think he's starting to kind of get comfortable. Obviously going to take him a little bit. It's still only the first month. Like it's going to be going into May. But I think just baseball wise, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to start figuring pitchers out. I think he's going to start figuring out tendencies. And he's going to be able to go off like he did in Milwaukee, hitting a home run and a grand slam in the same inning. Like, I don't think he's going to do that all the time. Obviously that's not feasible, but he'll be able to get his hits. He'll be able to drive in his runs. So again, Masataka Yoshida will be fine.
Just basically what I have to bring to the table is you kind of said it, but Kenley Jansen just being what the Red Sox, what the fans have needed. Like, I even think we have a Kenley Jansen in 21. Like, that makes a huge difference having like a really good, consistent closer that just comes in here and you don't worry about. Like you said, obviously, you're going to blow a save here and there. It's very rare that a closer has a lot of appearances and has a perfect season where he doesn't blow a save. But I think having a good bullpen is just saving the Red Sox season right now. Because I think without Jansen, if this is a 22 Red Sox, they are definitely, were they 13-13? I think they're maybe have 7 wins.
I was going to say like 9-17, something like that.
Something like that. So I think having bullpen is definitely helping the Red Sox stay afloat right now.
Yeah, that bullpen has been an absolute, again, a godsend because they actually are taking care of business, which I absolutely love and appreciate, which is great. But we'll see what happens. Again, I'm just trying to think of big news. Like Chris Sale had a good start against the Twins, struggled against the Orioles. He's still doing his thing where he gets mad. Like I'm starting to not that I don't like Chris Sale. I still love Chris Sale, but I'm starting to get sick of the antics. Like just pitch better. Locate your slider. Locate your fastball better. You don't throw 98, 99 anymore. You throw 93 to 95. Locate your slider. Find a way to be better. Simple. But anything else, Powder, before we head out for the week?
Nope. About 1 minute before puck drops, go Bruins.
Go Bruins. So, again, I have a student faculty basketball game, and I'm expected to get a double-double. Patriots, we don't know what to expect from them. We expect the Celtics to close out the Hawks on Thursday night. We expect the Bruins to be well into the second round. And we don't know what to expect from the Red Sox week in and week out. Quick programming note before we do go. Next week, we will have a guest on with us, a brand new guest on the Legends Lingo podcast that's going to be helping us break down the Patriots draft. I think you're going to like this guest. He's very well known on Twitter. And I'm going to tell Powder off air who it is. And you'll just have to wait and see and listen to next week's episode to see who we got. Again, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere where you can get your podcasts. StudentUnionSports.com for all the latest blogs, all the latest podcasts, and everything else that we have going on. Check out some of the other podcasts on the network. You might recognize them from our old website, Couch Guy Sports. Yellow Card Podcast, The Chasers. Obviously, Is It Saturday Yet with Diaz. Okay, there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of great stuff going on, so make sure to check that out. But if nothing else, that is the ever-handsome, the ever-wonderful Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Alan Hegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 220.
Yes, sir.